think that's my favorite song. Our scripture reading this morning is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just thank you for this opportunity to listen to your word this morning. Just ask that you open our ears and hearts, take in what Pastor Craig has to say this morning, and we ask this in your name. Amen. Thanks, Brad. The devil is real. The devil is real. He is the author of sin, the default god of this world, and he does not want sinful man to know nor trust in the living God for salvation from sin or for anything else, for that matter. Therefore, he is a master at hindering the effectiveness of Christians in the world. He wants us to fail in a lot of regards, but especially in the area of sharing Christ with others. In fact, one of his major goals is to make believers as ineffective for God as possible by sabotaging what you and I as believers have been called and commissioned to do. You see, if he can stop, taint, or distract us from what we have been called to do, he can hinder the furtherance of the gospel through us. Now, he cannot stop. He cannot keep believers from heaven, okay? But he can sabotage our efforts in sharing that message with others. I recently read about an international taxi cab company that had 177 of its employees in a particular city spend the entire day calling and booking 5,000 bogus rides from competitor cab companies. They called their competition, gave them an address to go to with nobody there to pick up. 5,000 phone calls like that. They kept their competition busy doing things that were of no profit at all. That's one of the devil's sabotage tactics. In another city, a person from one furniture company went to his newly started competitor's place of business at 2 in the morning and cut a bunch of the cables underneath his delivery truck so he could not deliver furniture the next day. I actually found a website that gave a list of about a dozen ways a disgruntled employee can sabotage his employer. A website designed for disgruntled employees. Among them were things like changing passwords on frequently accessed programs, uninstalling important computer programs, deleting backup files, cutting the cables between the keyboard and the computer, cutting the cables on the fax, sending customers wrong merchandise, and lots of it. If the devil can stop, taint, or distract us from doing what we have been called to do, he can hinder the furtherance of the gospel, at least through us. So 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if you would like, just we're gonna come back to 1 Peter chapter 5 a couple different times this morning. So if you want to just stay right there, that's fine. But this morning, for our soberness, our own soberness and vigilance, we are going to look at 10 ways to be effective for God by first looking at 10 ways the devil seeks to devour our effectiveness for God. And just so you're aware, we're not actually going to get to the 10 ways to be effective until, Lord willing, next week. This morning, we are going to focus on how the devil seeks to make us ineffective for God. And I will give you some passages of Scripture that tie into what we're going to be looking at next week, so you're not just left there, okay, now what do I do? All right? We have some resolution for you this morning. But our subject is, if I were the devil. If I were the devil. Now, this topic, like last week, is one that I actually adapted from a paper that Dr. Richard Seymour published several years ago. But if I were the devil, and I wanted to make you ineffective for God, this is what I would do. This is what I do. And with this title, I'm not implying that I have more insight on sabotage than the devil does. All right. Rather, this is what I would do because this is what the devil does. And it works. So if I were the devil, here are 10 different ways that I could make you ineffective for God. Number one, I would observe and exploit your weaknesses. I would observe and exploit your weaknesses. Now, I do not believe that the devil has the capability of reading our minds. Only God is omniscient. However, he and his cohorts are very observant of us. And through that observation, he can know exactly what our weakness is. Really, just like a lion. When a lion is hungry, what animal in the herd do they target? The weak one. The weak one. The one that is limping. The one that is slow. The one that is young. The one that is old. The one that is lagging behind. He looks for a weakness and exploits that weakness. Well, the devil observes us and he looks for that part of us that is the weakest. And when he discovers it, that is the area that he will go after. If it's a deficiency, he will do what he can to keep us from what we need. If it's a temptation, he will put that in front of us as often as he can. In fact, he will bombard us with it. So if I were the devil and I wanted to keep you ineffective for God, one of the ways I would do that is I would observe and exploit your weaknesses. So you and I, we must know. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that no temptation has overtaken us except such as is common to man. In other words, we all go through this. The devil observes every single one of us. He's looking for that weakness to exploit. Know that that's going to happen. But God goes on. He says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. While the temptation will be there, know that God is there too, and he will always provide that way of escape. While the devil will observe and exploit our weaknesses, God will always provide whatever we need to bear whatever Satan is bringing against us. And another way that I might keep you ineffective If I were the devil, I would get you involved with evil company. I would get you involved with evil company. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul tells the church there, he says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." And if I were the devil, I would do everything that I could to involve you in close personal relationships with those who have little or no interest in the true and living God. Evil company might be close personal relationships with unbelievers, those who don't even know the Lord. But evil company might include close relationships even with believers who are not walking with the Lord. They're not concerned with pleasing God nor being effective for Him. There are people that I went to Bible school with. In fact, Derek and I were just talking about this earlier this week. There are people that he and I went to Bible school with that went into the ministry and are no longer in the ministry, nor even walking with the Lord. And I don't know about Derek's case, but with the people that I know, in virtually every case like this, they got involved in a close personal relationship with some sort of ungodly company. And I would guess that as they began that relationship, they never dreamed that it would lead them away from the Lord. In fact, they probably believed they could handle it just fine. I can make this work. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So if I were the devil, I would get you involved with evil company. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says squarely, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness?" But what if it's a relationship that we're already in? What if it's a marriage? Paul addresses that too in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 12, 13, and 16, Paul says, "But to the rest I say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife?" Wherever we are right now, we need to understand that we need to do the thing that will help us be the most effective for God right now. And for those of us that are not already in a relationship that is unequal, okay, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So if I were the devil, I would get you involved with evil company. Number three, if I were the devil, I would nurture shallow godliness in you. I would nurture shallow godliness in you. I would go to extremes. I would use any method, perpetuate any lie, just to keep you from deepening your walk with the Lord. I would keep you preoccupied with and nurture the simple appearances of godliness. You may serve a church. You may go to church, but for personal gain and recognition. You may pray, as long as you didn't take it too seriously. I might even let you study the Bible, as long as I could tell that you weren't actually being changed by it. Also, I would not want you to take too seriously Christ's command to spread the gospel to every creature. And I certainly would never want you to be overly concerned with actually pleasing God. I would do everything I could to nurture shallow godliness and keep you satisfied and happy right there. Number four, I would keep you busy with pleasant activities. I would keep you busy with pleasant activities. Activities, really, that are good and noble. Activities that may even bless the lives of others in certain respects. Any activities that don't directly impact the furtherance of the gospel and your growth in your walk. Okay, I would let you do anything except that. I would keep you busy doing other kinds of Christian things, fun things, immediately rewarding things, things that would not leave any time for serious prayer, things that would not leave any time to share the gospel, and things that would not allow any time for any kind of real spiritual battle, okay? I wouldn't want you to enter into any kind of real spiritual battle. After all, who wants to fight when we can play, right? Besides, battle armor can be cumbersome and uncomfortable. Who wants to wear it? Well, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us directly, wear it. Wear it. Ephesians 6, 10, 11, 18, and 19 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. But if I were the devil, I would keep you busy with pleasant activities. I would want church and the Christian life to be like a club, an association, a party, a society. If I were the devil, number five, I would distract you with the world. A lot of these, as you see, are very closely connected, but there's subtle changes in these, slight different perspectives. But number five, I would distract you with the world. I would distract you with, really, with whatever worked, whether it be good or bad. I would distract you with legitimate areas of concern, such as earning money to pay bills, to support a family, to live. I would distract you with frivolous things, such as styles, cars, sports, popularity, hobbies, technology, entertainment. And I would distract you with sinful things, like lying to keep up appearances, uncontrolled lustful passions, passions of power, success, and pride. Sinful things like stealing, cheating, all at the expense of personal godliness in your life. I would distract you with the world. Well, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 tells us, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So if I were the devil, I would keep you so distracted with worldly things, views, issues, that you are no heavenly good. The sixth way I might make you ineffective, number six, I heard somebody say seven. Okay, all right, because I got it wrong last week, remember? Keep me on my toes. It is number six. I would let you believe that you are cool. I would let you believe that you are cool, because the person who believes he is cool would never want to do anything to make others think him uncool. I would let you believe that you are trendy, you are popular, you are liked, you're accepted by all Christian and non-Christian alike. I have shared this story with you several times before. And for those of you, some of you may even know where I'm going right now, okay? But a few years after I became a believer, an unbelieving coworker and I were talking about the Bible. Well, we must have talked about every single subject that came to mind except Jesus and the gospel. And in the midst of this conversation, he literally said these words to me, and I think this is an exact quote, and he was completely and utterly sincere as he said this. He said to me, "Craig, you're a cool Christian." But this is what I heard. He was sincere. This is what I heard. He said, "Craig, you're not like the other Christians that I've met who tried to convict me of my sin and lead me to trust in Christ to save me from my sin. You're a cool Christian." Apparently, the other Christians he had met were not made as ineffective by the devil as I was. But that was a wake-up call for me. I wanted to be done thinking I was cool and accepted. I wanted to be done with being liked by the world. I wanted to be convicted and separated unto God. James 4:4 says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" He goes on, he says, "Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So if I were the devil, I would let you believe that you are cool. Number 7, if I were the devil, I would weigh you down with burdens of discouragement. I would weigh you down with burdens of discouragement. One of my favorite ways, if I were the devil, to burden you would be with doubt. And I can use it in several ways. That's why I like doubt so much. I could put people, intelligent people, in your life so to cast doubt on God's word. That's a good one. Or I could put issues in your life that could cast doubt on your own convictions. I could put concerns in your life that would cast doubt upon your future. I could cripple you with fear, even casting doubt on God's forgiveness and your salvation. I would weigh you down with burdens of discouragement. When I was a young teenager in high school, I was really into the weightlifting thing. I could deadlift. I could do squats. I was press. In fact, those three were my strong lifts. Okay, and I remember my dad brought home numerous 50-pound bags of grain for our animals one evening, and we needed to transport that grain about 50 yards from the back of his truck to the barn. So I took one on my shoulders, 50-pound bag, and I told my dad, "Put another one on the other shoulder." So I now had 100 pounds. I was feeling pretty strong. I said, "Throw a couple more on." So he put another 50-pound bag here, another 50-pound bag here. I'm thinking, I'm still standing strong. Throw one more on. And he put it on there. I'd never felt so strong in my life. And then I went to take a step. Almost collapsed and cried out, "Take them off! Take them off!" And he did. And he did. Well, if I were the devil, I would try to weigh you down with so many burdens that it would paralyze you. I would keep you so preoccupied with those issues, so weighed down with burdens of doubt, fear, and worry, so weighed down with discouragement that you could not move for the benefit of another. And I would want you to think that you have to carry it all by yourself. Right back here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you or lift you up in due time, casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you." But if I were the devil, I would try to weigh you down with all of those burdens. So know this. Here's something for us, and I want us to hold on to this. Know that if anything comes into our life that causes us to doubt God or be discouraged in our Christian walk, it's from the devil. It's from me, okay? If I were the devil. Number 8. If I were the devil, I would consume you with concerns for self. I would consume you with concerns for self. I would so consume you in concerns, including such things as ministry, family needs, that you would have virtually no contact or impact on the world outside of Christ. If you hear a message that makes you feel guilty for not reaching out to the lost, don't worry. I'll remind you of some scripture that tells you, I'm not gifted in that area. Or I will gently suggest, you don't want to be too pushy. Or I'd tell you, don't run ahead of God. Don't run ahead of God in this. Besides that, who likes a fanatic? That'll drive more people away from Christ than it will ever draw to him. That's what I would remind you of. And you certainly wouldn't want that to happen, would you? That one was convicting for me, so let's move on. Really, I want to share with you this morning that actually is a struggle of mine. Because my world is church. My world is church. I am here almost every day. And when I'm not here, I am either with some of you or my family. Most of the time, I have to deliberately go out of my way to have contact with unbelievers. But that's exactly what I've been commissioned to do. To go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But if I were the devil, I would consume you with those concerns for self. If I were the devil, number 9, I would find you a hobby horse of dissension. I would find you a hobby horse of dissension. Now, a hobby horse is actually a toy. But the word has taken on the definition of anything that one might become fixated on. And I would try to find you a topic or a subject or an idea, whether biblical or not, and I would want you to become so fixated, so obsessed with it to the point that it starts to generate dissension among your Christian friends, among the church. Another story I've shared with you before is of a new pastor who is obsessed with a particular teaching in the Bible. Now, I was in agreement with his position on this teaching, as were the elders of the church that he had just come into. They were in agreement with him on this position, on this doctrine. Okay, but every single time he preached, whether the text dealt with it or not, he found a way to interject something about this particular teaching. And it actually created opposition in the body. People got sick about hearing it. He lost that pastorate. He was fired, and the church ended up splitting over it. If I were the devil, I would find you a topic, a subject, an idea, whether biblical or not, and I would want you to become fixated on it to the point that it causes division. And then I would constantly fan that flame. I would get it to grow as big a fire as I could. The devil may walk about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But Galatians 5:15 says, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. That right there is the devil multiplying his efforts. He makes disciples too. Lastly, this morning, if I were the devil, I would pledge to destroy the church from within. I would pledge to destroy the church from within. And I want you to know that he has pledged that. We're going to look at a passage from Isaiah in just a minute that shows you his pledge, all right? But I would pledge to destroy the church from within, and I would do it through all of the above methods. This would cause Christianity to diminish simply because Christians are not multiplying themselves. In fact, with these methods, it could stop them from even replacing themselves. It's been said that through family size alone, Muslims are growing in population faster than Christians. They are multiplying themselves while Christians are having fewer children, all right? In that respect, Christians are their own worst enemy. They're diminishing themselves from within. So you know what that means? Those of you that can have more children. And I'm not even kidding. But really, really, my point is this. The devil is doing all that he can to minimize the multiplication of Christianity and maximize the lost in the world. And he's doing it by making us ineffective and effectively stagnating, killing the church from the inside. And in many ways and places, it is working. Now, I want to close with this. I want to give you the reality of all of this. I mean, not that all this wasn't reality already, but I want to sum it up by telling you that God wins, okay? God wins. But the devil is real. He is not just a mere force of evil. He's not just the sin that exists within us. He's certainly not God's equal. I believe the devil is an intelligent creature who seeks to upset God's plan at every turn. I believe he was created good and through pride turned bad. I believe he's on a leash, limited by God, and beyond my comprehension, a very, very long leash. And in Isaiah 14:13, the devil pledged, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. He wants to be the God of this world. And he says, I will be like the Most High. That's his pledge. However, he will not win. He will lose. His odds of success are zero. His odds of victory over God and the church are as good as mine if I were the devil. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I'm sure that the devil has read that passage. He's heard that promise from Jesus. I'm sure he's read the book of Revelation about the fire and brimstone that he will spend eternity in. Therefore, I don't suppose that he thinks or actually believes he's going to win. However, he's so nutty that he may believe that he could. So what's his goal? To exalt himself. To exalt himself by hindering the work of God through us. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 9 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And Lord willing, next week, I've given you some verses here this morning, but next week, Lord willing, for our soberness and vigilance, we're going to look at 10 ways to be effective for God. But let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we are aware that you have an enemy, and therefore we have an enemy. And if we were not aware before this morning, I pray that we are very aware of that now. And Lord, having looked at his tactics and understanding really what his goal is, to be exalted, to be like you. Father, because there is none like you, I pray, Lord, that we would do battle. I pray, Lord, that we would stand fast in the faith. I pray, Lord, that we would grow in our relationship with you so much that in everything that we encounter, every problem, every attack, that we would just humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your strength. And I pray now, Lord, that as we leave here and through the next days, weeks, months, knowing that the devil is desirous of sabotaging our efforts for you, and knowing some of the ways that he does that, that we would recognize those things when we see them and rest in you and your strength. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.